Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, one more time. All right. I'm April Margulies.
And I'm Christopher Tompkins.
And you're on the line with the Hype Busters.
Welcome. Ready for some real talk on strategic communication?
You're in the right place. Welcome to the first ever episode of Hype Busters. I'm April Margulies.
And I'm Christopher Tompkins. I'm your go-to host for all things digital marketing.
And I am your dedicated guide to the world of public relations.
You can catch us every other Friday as we look past the hype and get down to what's really going on behind the scenes and beyond your screens. Okay, we ready for a little bit of breaking industry news?
Definitely, let's do it.
Okay, this week we are analyzing from Barron's, does Tesla have a PR problem? Why it could benefit from better public relations? Ooh, what say you, April Margulies?
So, I mean, I will say in general that Elon Musk is definitely an interesting anomaly in that
he fired
his internal PR people a while back. He has no communications team. He doesn't believe in PR. And so when you're Elon Musk, you can pull that off, right?
Right.
But I still think if you don't have anybody that's making sure you don't run into a crisis, it's a gamble, right? I feel like you're setting yourself up to have a potential problem where you don't need to have one. You don't necessarily need an entire set. I mean, obviously Tesla sells itself. He sells himself. Everyone wants to talk to him. You don't need a team actively pitching Elon Musk, right? He's about the only person in the universe that can pull that off. And they have so much goodwill around the brand that even if things go sideways, like they did not long ago, you know, some people died and then he sort of tweeted something really dry and robotic about
right.
it, you know, but now the situation is that if he doesn't have anybody and he's not actively looking through the lens of how the culture might perceive something, something could go sideways enough that it could actually, I'm not going to say tank Tesla. I don't think anything can tank Tesla. But it might really put a big ding in the side of their armor.
All brands out there are kind of like one PR crisis away from like a discount sticker on the windshield. Yes. My question would be to you, April, would be, what would it take for them to really be screwed in this situation? Because obviously I agree with you. I think that you always have to have someone on hand just in case. And he's trying to be disruptive with how he's approaching because that's the branding that he's trying to put forth in his positioning. But what would need to happen? Because obviously people have, you know, perished. Like, what will it take to kind of ding this brand?
I think he was fortunate in that the incident where only a few people died, it was a few people. It would take hundreds of people dying. Not that a few people isn't tragic, but it would take something of a higher number, higher impact. And then people would get really upset, right? And if he didn't have a staff to handle it sensitively with that kind of empathetic touch and be right there at the ready to handle it, I mean, because that's the kind of thing, if that happened and then he didn't have a staff in place to handle it, then his delayed response would aggravate the bad impact that it was already having that happened, right? I hope he at least has a crisis preparedness plan in place and somebody he can call in the event that something like that happens. Because if it comes down to him, I mean, God help Tesla, right? It's not gonna fare well.
I think kind of like going into this one, especially with this character, because I do feel like he's a character. I look at it in terms of telling the story because from my side of things, it's kind of like, how can we get you the most visibility as possible? What's your positioning that we can put you as a thought leader out there and get people engaging with your message so that everyone else starts becoming an evangelist? And I think not having a PR and talking about not having a PR is a PR move. I don't think he's being 100% transparent.
Okay. You've got a conspiracy theory here that he's actually pretending he has no PR.
It's a super move. I mean, all celebrities do this. I mean, and he's now celebrity because he hosted Saturday Night Live.
Right.
I think as soon as you do something like that and you're in that position, you lose credibility. And I don't think that you're a super authentic, even though it's, I love Saturday Night Live. I think it's a great show. But when someone like him comes on, it's kind of like, oh, so now you're, it's like Mark Zuckerberg hosting it.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that him not having a PR team and bragging about it is also, I actually had a lunch club call last week with somebody who said, you know, if a product's good enough, they don't need PR, right? I mean, it just sells itself. And the truth is that that's not true, right? I mean, unless you're at that scale already and you can afford to just bow out and because everybody's calling you with, you know, wanting to know what you're doing next. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not Apple, Google, Facebook, I mean, like there are only like a handful. I mean, I don't even think I could get to 10 brands that could, that could pull that off, right? And still have people calling them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you're a startup and you're trying to get the word out there and you're trying to compete with the competition, you have zero chance of success if you don't have PR as part of your artillery.
When you're looking at, this is one of the things that drives me crazy when people do this, because this is why, how I know this is true. And like, I think that he has like a side PR chick. Like, I think see. He's definitely
his girlfriend's like a PR, a publicist secretly or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of the things that a startup will come to me and they'll say, hey, you know what, why aren't my posts getting as much as this brand? And I tell them, I said, well, it's because that brand is paying advertising dollars to do that. And they will say, well, that brand says that they don't spend any money on social media and it's all organic. And I said, well, they're lying. It's kind of like when people hire my agency, they don't want us to say anything. We will sign NDAs where it's like we're working for them and they are the powerhouse. So we're like the muscle behind the brand in a way, in the shadows. So stuff like this, I think, is a little misleading to startups, especially. Like, you got to kind of, I'm not saying look through cynical eyes like I have, but there's more than one way to look at the story, you know?
Yeah. So in the Barron's article about whether Tesla has a PR problem, written by Al Root, basically it says, but after the accident, Musk lashed out at the media on Twitter and later during the company's first quarter investor call. So it seems that it's reached sort of a critical mass where both investors now and the media are starting to talk about why he doesn't have a PR department.
I just bank that all in the bank of clout because everyone's talking about him. Who's to say that this wasn't a PR strategy? You know, it's like that was dreamed up by someone other than the godlike figure that Elon Musk kind of has created for himself. So I do feel like this is kind of one of the pieces
possible.
That like thou protest too much. Is that the saying? Like
the lady doth protest too much.
Yeah. I think that, sorry, Elon, not calling you a lady, babe, but like still, I feel that when someone starts screaming something and they get angry, it's showing their hand in a way.
That's
but
interesting.
That's just how I kind of see it.
I like it. Okay, good. Well, shall we move on? I feel like that might be enough about that.
Yeah, I think we smacked that with a sword. I think we're done.
Okay, great. Okay, our next segment is Point and Counterpoint. In this segment, Chris and I will agree to disagree, and we'll tell you why.
And I'm right. Here's our topic for the week. The demise of browser cookies could create a golden age of digital marketing. Every time they say golden age of something, it just sounds so like, oh, it's going to be so easily attainable and it's just going to be like heaven.
I like the coming golden age.
Anytime there's a golden age, I'm always kind of thinking to myself, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. From the marketer, anytime that they put a golden age of something, it's kind of like the golden age of marketing. Self-produced videos. And then the next day, all the clients will call you up and go, hey, I hear videos are the new thing. We need to do videos. How do we do them? Do I turn on my camera? How do I? But what's interesting about this one is the changes that everyone's been hearing about in terms of the removal of cookies. Like everyone, hey, how's your Chrome working? Pretty damn slow because cookies are not happening. And Google's looking to get rid of those completely by the end of next year. So that means no tracking of your data.
I'm a huge fan of less tracking of people in general across the board. I think that data has been misused and people are tired of it. And I think it's leading to the downfall of society in a lot of ways, right? So in a way, this is sort of like, I can't believe that Google's actually taking a step in the right direction to do the right thing and stop doing so much tracking of everyone's activities and where they are. I mean, there's something super Big Brother and creepy and Orwellian about it, right? So I'm really happy that they're pulling back on what they've been doing. I think that's great. Just given that, I think I'm all for it, even though I do understand that it's going to create some issues and some pain points for marketers. But
anyone that's listening to this, did you hear that she said some problems? What a PR person. I mean, honest to God, this is like cutting off a leg and waiting for it to grow back. This is so painful. What do I think about it? I like it. Okay. I like it because in the world that I live in, I think it's a very worthwhile thing for us to be doing. And also from a marketing perspective, I think that it's going to force marketers to be smarter with how they market to their target audience and how they kind of appeal to people and sell ideas. That's what marketing is. It's selling ideas and pandering to people's emotions to sell ideas. But what is interesting about it is that it's making humans human and not pieces of data. And I think that marketers, this is where I feel a little bad, because I'm lucky because I'm in the right seat in terms of how it goes, because I've never looked at people as numbers. My approach has always been to deal with the humans. That's why social media is my main lane, because I can engage people truly and in a human way. But there's lots of people that their whole lives are built on retargeting of data off of this data that's retargeted off of this list and this IP address. And all they have done is focused on that for years. They've refined it to this perfect brew. And then they're just turning off the pot, throwing the coffee pot out the window, shooting it with a shotgun, like it's over. And those people are like, what do I do now? And I mean, I had one client that I worked with that we didn't work on their advertising. They had their team spending like 4 hours a day looking into how to create the Facebook events that were created with the Facebook pixel. Basically, this is all retargeting language for anyone out there. And a lot of startups that I talked to like maybe a year or two ago, they were really focusing on this because they felt that that's the way to maximize their budget and they can maximize their spend with smart data. And was it true? It's pretty effective. It's very true. But this is like just really ripping the rug out from under a lot of companies. So it's going to force those people that were really focused on being mechanical about marketing, looking at it in a different way and engaging people in a real way. And I'm telling you, marketers can change, but that's a big change. Mm-hmm. And also, all you had to do is come up with a good formula and you could just rest on your laurels. Now you have to actually work harder to figure that out.
So is it going to get more expensive?
It's already marketing? Getting more expensive. Yeah.
Okay.
I had a client that we had down to between 2 and 8 cents per engagement on Facebook, and it's 58 cents now.
What?
Obviously, me with my little conspiracy eyelash over here thinks that this is kind of a stopgap between something and something else. I don't know what it is.
Something more evil. They're doing something less evil to do something more evil that people don't know about.
Yeah. There's going to be an uprising. No, I honestly, I don't know what it is. But I would say that if you are a startup right now that is looking into any sort of cookie-based marketing, go find an agency that does this immediately and ask for their counsel. Do not try to learn this. This is just like diagnosing something like if you're going to a medical doctor. I'm not saying surgery, like a medical degree and a marketing degree are the same, but you really need to go to a specialist on this, because this is something that can waste a lot of time and money with you trying to figure out how to make the transition.
Right. So my question for you is this. Is it possible?
What?
The reason, and now I'm putting on your skeptical, conspiracy theorist hat.
That's me.
Is it possible, looking through the Chris lens, that Google's actually rolling back the cookies because too many other companies are profiting on them and they want to introduce something proprietary that can't be used by others in the same way?
The one thing that worried me is how Chrome has been killing everybody. And everyone has been really relying on Chrome to store all their passwords, to store all, store everything, and then basically nothing stored anymore. So everything is slower. That's a red flag that they don't know what they're doing right now. And this is from the people that brought us Google Plus. So what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I think that if Google is developing it, someone else will do it faster.
Interesting.
Sorry, Google. Sometimes you seem like
they got too
like
big.
Like the crazy aunt that comes to Thanksgiving or something. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of, sometimes it seems like they're a little bit off kilter. Their choices are a little suspect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I like it. I think we should put a fork in that one.
Yeah, it's done. Delicious.
So hungry. Chris, are you ready to kick off the interview?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
This week, we're welcoming Raul Gonzalez Acuña as our inaugural guest. He is a self-described serial entrepreneur and the CEO and founder of RG Engineering International.
So on the docket for our chat today will be the interesting business moves Raul took to pivot during the pandemic and how RGA Engineering survived in a contracting economy. Raul will also tell us all about how RGA has imprinted in their DNA a flexible planning mode. So we'll let him tell you the rest.
I think with that, I'd like to kick it over to Raul. And if you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Wow. Thank you very much. You know, I host a podcast called Emprendiendo Entre Amigos. And so I'm honored to be on the other side for a change, not doing the interview, but being interviewed. So it's awesome. I catalog myself as a serial entrepreneur, although on LinkedIn, I only have RG Engineering International. She's my first baby, you know, she's 10 years old now. And she's a consultancy firm of engineering using energy efficiency and sustainability all throughout the projects that we're doing. April was saying, like, how do you survive in an 80% contracting economy? Let me give you a context with that. Venezuela in 2012 had a GDP of $300 billion per year. Mm-hmm. It was the first biggest economy in Latin America. Now, before the pandemic, we were just a little bit below Panama. So the economy was like shrinking due to the politics and the problems that you might heard during the past 2 years. So from the entrepreneurial point of view, how did you work with that? So you have two, we found a flexible planning mode. And you have two types of planning, like the focus planning that you have to plan for 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, and you have flexible mode. The flexible mode is, well, you can plan something, but during the way, you might have to change. So in Venezuela, one of the things that happened with a contracting economy, but we also had hyperinflation and a scarcity of goods. I mean, the prices were getting higher and higher and higher, but you didn't find the resources that you needed. So you cannot plan ahead. I mean, you cannot plan a month ahead. That's one of the things that we were working on RGA. We start doing some design for ourselves, trying to solve one of the problems of drinkable water access here in Venezuela, but that's the same problem that's going on in every developing country throughout the region. And we found out that one of the problems that these remote communities has, they don't have the resources to sustain a conventional water treatment. So we started using all the technical expertise from 10 years of experience working with the industry and the engineering consulting firm. And we found that Easy Clean Water, basically that's my second baby. She's like a born from RGA.
Are you comfortable sharing a little bit more about your second baby, or is that still under wraps since you're in the pitching process? Yeah, let's hear the elevator pitch for baby two.
Oh, my pitch. Okay, I can give you my pitch. Well, one of the things that people and mostly don't know is that 1 out of 3 people in the world don't have access to drinkable water. That's more than 2 billion people all around the world. Imagine that you have to go over the mountain every day to get water, even though you have a water purification system in your town. And that's because it broke down and it's abandoned. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine feeling the weight of going all the way up the mountain and then going back. So this is why I created Easy Clean Water. We designed a water purification system that works with the social financial model. So the plant is a distiller, it's a water distiller. It produces distilled water that we can then make it drinkable. So the community can use some of the profits of selling a little bit of distilled water to cover the entire water operation and still be able to give drinkable water for free. What we're trying to do is to train them into using the distilled water in local preparations. So we can start jobs, they can start entrepreneurial ventures that create jobs, and they can create the demand of the distilled water. So making a virtuous cycle of health, entrepreneurship, and empowerment. It's about making water the gravity center of the entire community.
So we now know about the two babies.
Four babies.
Four babies. Sorry. I always forget babies. So now that we have the four babies that you're focusing on, Ralph, what's next? What's the next step that you want to take to continue to organically move through and move forward?
Well, as a father of four,
wow.
And I'd say like
a lucky number for you, Raul.
Yeah,
huh?
Well,
wait, are you also
four babies? I mean,
wait, do you have four children? Oh, okay. I was like, oh my gosh, that's eight children.
No,
you
mean four? I have one.
Okay, one human
one
baby,
daughter.
Four business babies.
As a father of five, and yes. RJ is the biggest one, so she can like drive herself a little bit. But the other one, I have to be more intentional in that. So the next step is make them grow. Easy Clean Water is the one that can be in a startup. And that's the one that we want to push the most to become a startup and bring that benefit to all the world. For instance, we are now working with a pilot in Canoabo in Venezuela. We are developing a 200 liter per day water plant. And we estimate that it will be beneficiary for 60 families and more than 100 ventures, hopefully. And we'll start the training program in July. By mid-July, we'll start.
That's exciting. Awesome.
That's like weeks away. Are you ready for all this? I mean, are you getting excited?
Super. That's more than 10 years of work for me. Is even more because I started this technology development while I was an undergrad.
Wow.
That was my bachelor thesis. Yeah. And then it came to my master's thesis. And then I even won some awards in the US. It was a huge deal here in Venezuela as well.
Is there a most rewarding moment for you when you reach a certain level or a certain milestone that really makes it all worth it for you?
There are several. But I still remember when I had to move from my house, when I started RGA, to an office. And that was because I got a super good project. I had to hire like five different employees. So it was like, wow. And I still remember I was in a traffic jam in the highway. I got the email with the purchase order. It was like, wow, yeah. I mean, that's the first one. I started like, wow, awesome. So yeah, that's one. There are a lot of good moments.
That's cool. I love that. Well, this has been super helpful.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for us or anything that you want to plug before we let you get on to your five babies?
No, I just want to thank you all. I love what you're doing. Thank you very much for giving me the honor of starting.
Yeah.
I
wish you all the best with all your endeavors.
Best of luck to you too.
So
yeah, thank you so much, Raul.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. This segment is a fun one. Ready for our first cash or trash critique for the week?
Okay. Here's our target for today.
Yeah.
We are looking at Kim Kardashian's Skims ad that was pulled after a video fails scandal.
Yeah.
This is an article in Team Vogue written by Erin Nicole Saletti. Earlier this week, Kim Kardashian found herself at the center of another editing controversy stemming from an ad for her underwear and shapewear line, Skims, which the brand has since apologized for and replaced. The ad featured Kim laying on her side, slowly grazing her waist with her hand while wearing the brand's latest underwear drop. At the time she reaches for her hip, her finger appears to become very distorted in shape and length. And so then a TikTok post that was viewed by more than 24 million people in the last 5 days, the user questioned who approved of this editing, while other commenters echoed similar sentiments about the unrealistic beauty and body expectations of over-editing. I guess this is squarely in the fail category.
Yeah, this is squarely in the fail category for the editors. You know, number one, like, don't call Jim Henson's Creature Shop when you're trying to get the fingers for the Kardashians. I mean, it looked like one of the fingers from the movie The Witches. Like, what is that? So what's next? Like, have you seen the ad that she's come out with recently? They're so annoying. Basically, she has her Porsche that's completely wrapped with Skims.
No. Yeah.
And what happens is, if you watch it, it's actually a Fiat. I'm lying. Who fails here? I mean, I feel that it's the team that put this together, don't you think?
The editor and whoever approved that ad.
Yeah, I just don't understand why. I actually have a theory about this then, maybe, if I'm thinking about it. You know, when your whole job is be something to be looked at and to be marveled, and it's all about the visual, maybe you get so close that you don't see the errors anymore. Maybe, like, in a situation like that, if they had a pair of fresh eyes on the set, like, or in the editing booth, because that's where 90% of the Kardashians happen. Or do you think it's just they did it for someone to catch it?
Oh, back to the conspiracy theories. Chris, the conspiracy theorist.
I am. I'm over here. You want to find out how people are ruining your minds? Got the answer for you.
I mean, it could be, right? Could be a PR stunt. I doubt it. I think it was more somebody just didn't notice how weird it looked. Actually, here's my theory. My theory is a straight man was editing it and was so distracted by how beautiful her behind backside cabooses.
Are these the medical terms? But make sure.
And he just didn't even notice that her finger ended up looking super warped. I bet he just edited the hell out of it to make the butt look just so pristine that he missed the fact that it was like the creepy finger.
Again. The medical terms that we're using here. She had a case of the... I mean, but see, I could see that POV. But what's really interesting is that I'm picturing 25 people editing this. Like, because the whole thing is the thing. It's the look. It's the aesthetic. And personally, I would have missed that. Because I honestly don't care enough. Maybe if it was marketed to me, possibly. But it's so quick. The finger's so quick. I would have missed it. But if I was paid, I wouldn't miss it. If I was paid to look for mistakes.
Right.
But what's happening right now? The reunion or whatever of the last Kardashians dropped tonight or something, or whenever, like recently. So it's all...
Might be on purpose.
Yeah. And it could have been created just for that. And then it could have been released that TikToker. They could have been paid. Conspiracy theories. But guess what, people? People pay for exposure. You know? Someone could have said, hey, we need like something viral. Okay, we've seen you naked. We've seen you doing the sex. We've seen you doing this. We've seen you doing that. We've seen you on a camel. We've seen you giving birth. We've seen you like waxing. What are we going to do now? Okay, let's screw up your finger. And let's find, okay, who's influential? Who's influential? Okay, her. Get her an NDA. Well, how much would she want? Like 10,000. Okay. Give her 10,000 bucks to put this out there. And then it's, you know what I mean? It could be as easy as that.
It might be.
It really could be.
See, when you say these things, they all sound right. And then I feel disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Free Teen Vogue coverage. Why not? And they showed your commercial on a site that got how many hits?
Yeah.
And then it's so slight. We both had to watch it multiple times, which racks up views. I mean, come on.
Okay. You're right. I think Chris is right. All right, sorry, everyone. Guys.
I'm sorry. I'm going to ruin everyone's dreams. But
yeah, I'm nice. I'm gullible and nice, and Chris is naughty and mean.
Yeah. If I met you, I would find you questionable, listener. No, I'm kidding.
So funny. So Chris, let's close things out with our startup feature.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, the spotlight for the week is Space Together. It's a startup that's helping business leaders to grow their organizations with space sharing. So I stumbled across this the other day looking for something locally and realized that this was actually a really smart thing. So if you either have a space that you don't need all the time, or you have a space that you're looking for, but you don't want to have to necessarily straight out of the gate, just go and rent a space or buy a place for whatever business you're planning on doing, you can share spaces. So you can go on their website, you can either say, I have a space or I need a space. And then you can say where you need the space.
Okay, like Airbnb kind of situation?
No, it's more like a gym or a yoga studio or a church or like something where you wouldn't necessarily. So it's more like something that's more of a business space thing or nonprofit, and you just can't afford the space by yourself. So the idea is that you can like share a commercial space with other people, basically.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which I thought was, I was like, that's really smart. They do need a little bit of help with the messaging, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be more clear. The website could be a little more clear too, but I think the idea is spectacular. I think it's smart. I think it's timely, especially coming out of the pandemic where people are sort of gun shy about how much space they might want to rent or.
And to lessen the burden if you do own a space, because, you know, there's so many startups out there that have been kind of screwed over with the whole pandemic. And they are clinging on to it. Like there's still people that were smart enough with their money, and they also got help from the assistance from the government that helped them kind of power through. But still, they might be going on fumes. So this is a good way of being able to, you know, expand your offerings without subletting, I guess. I mean, because that's the other option, and that's a marriage.
Right.
I don't want to get into that marriage. I don't want renters. Like the co-working thing, even for me, I've always thought about it and kind of thought that was like a little challenging. But with this, I think it's just, you know, it opens up the door for people that needed larger space, that have, you know, like you were saying, like gyms and like gymnastics, even like for kids and kids groups and after school and boys and girls club. And
yes,
I mean, there's lots of positive ramifications for it.
I think so too. Yeah. I thought it was super smart.
Yeah. Really cool. Good pick, April.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us for the first episode of Hype Busters.
And a big old shout out to Raul for joining us today.
If you have questions about the news, companies, and conversations from the show this week, you can find our contact details in the show notes below.
And our DMs are always open for the news, companies, and suggestions you want to hear about next. And if you're a startup founder looking for a chance in the hot seat, yo, we want to hear from you. So reach out.
Definitely.
Drop into our DMs.
Isn't it slide?
More of a dropper. I don't have time to slide. I just got to get in there. Go ahead. Drop it in, folks. See y'all next time for more real talk on strategic communications.
Hooray.
All right. Bye. Love you guys.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.